ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिं भवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवसु शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ स्वसिटुल्यु विल् स्टार्ट् वित् द दृक् दृश्य विवेक टेक्स्ट् as I told you, the style of the text shows, as said by our other teachers, that this book must have been authored by Vidyaranya Swami or his guru Bharati Tirtha Swami of Sringeri Math. And in this, the author of this text presents mainly the one topic of the Shastram. The main topic of the Shastram, I told you the six topics discussed in Vedanta Shastram, and of them one topic is taken for discussion. Thereby he tries to give the complete vision of the Shastram. And Jeevaha, the individual, is taken for the vichara enquiry. Jiva is highlighted here. And every prakarana granthaha has its own way of, you know, presenting the jivaha. And here jivaha, the individual, is said to be the composite of, the constituent of three factors. The three seers or three illuminators. So, of the three illuminators, we say the eye, the sense organs are the illuminator, form the illuminator one, which means I say devaha. And thereafter I said, each sense organ is said to be a devaha because it illumines, it brings to light its own corresponding respective object. Therefore, the whole jagat is the object, world of object. The jagat is the objects, constituent of objects perceived through these five senses, seen by, perceived by, illumined by these five senses. So world is the seen, world in five different forms, as five different objects constitute the seen, the observed, the illumined, and five senses are the illuminators. The five senses which illumine the respective objects constitute illuminator one. So, devaha, I said. And then, these senses, which are illuminators from the standpoint of the world, world of objects, or seers of the world of objects, they are themselves seen or observed, illumined from the standpoint of the mind. Then mind is the seer. Mind is the illuminator, sense organs are the seen. Therefore, mind is the seer number two, or you can say illuminator number two. So, deva devaha. Devanam devaha, deva devaha. Uliyin uli. That is enough. So, these five illuminators together constitute illuminator number one, are illumined by the mind, the illuminator two, seer number two. The mind again, which is illuminator from the standpoint of the senses, by itself is illumined observed scene from the standpoint of consciousness. The chitihi, isn't it? The sakshi. So sakshi is the seer number or illuminator number 3. So what is an individual? The first verse briefly presents an individual being the constituent of 3 seers or 3 illuminators. 3 driks. With, understand now? 3 driks. Plus physical body. Physical body itself implies what? The sense organ is included there. Therefore, when you say 3 seers, enough, individual. Why is all over the sense of touch is there? That is why. And here, of these 3 illuminators, of these 3 seers, we say the sense organs, the 5 sense organs, Pancha Devaha, which constitute the illuminator 1, and the mind, the illuminator 2, both illuminators, both these seers are said to be relative seers. Why they are relative seers? Because they are not only the seers, they are also illumined, they are also seen. But Sakshi of them, the illuminator of the mind, is actually the illuminator, absolute illuminator, absolute seer. Why? Because Sakshi is always the seer, illuminator, but not, never is the Sakshi illumined or seen or known. Therefore, this absolute illuminator Sakshi and mind and sense organs, the relative illuminators, the 3 illuminators, 3 seers together constitute what? An individual. This is briefly presented in the first verse of the Drik Drishya Vivekaha. So what is briefly presented in the first verse is commented upon, explained by the following 4 verses. Following verses. So in next one, the second verse, we saw the second verse explains or describes the first quarter of the first verse, wherein the illuminator 1 is explained. Who is the illuminator 1? Seer 1, knower 1, no, seer 1, seer 1, illuminator 1, isn't it? 1 is who? Sense organs. So only one sense organ is taken, one sense organ alone is explained there, and we have to understand all the 5 senses by understanding one sense organ. What is it said there? How sense, one sensor, the illuminator, the sensor, the illuminator, the seer is always one and the same, but the seen objects are, the known objects are, illumined objects are many and varied and different. That explained in the second verse. And then the objects seen are many, varied and different, but the sense, the seer does not undergo any change, remains the same with reference to the seen objects. When the object is small or big, the seer does not become big, without undergoing any change, remaining as one and the same. The seer sees the object. The seen objects are many. That is what is very important. What is important here? The seer is one and the same, remains without undergoing any change. Whereas seen are many, varied and different, they change. Is it clear now? So that is explained in the second verse. Then that has to be extended to all other senses also. Similarly, we saw you know, the hearing power. We also saw the, you know, the power of smell, power of taste, power of touch. All these senses have their own. All these senses illumine the different objects, many objects. Every sense organ illumines its own objects, many. But the sense organ is what? One. Hearing power is one. The objects heard are many. The sounds heard are many. And seeing power is one. The forms and colors seen are many. The power of smell is one. The objects smelt are many. The power of taste is one. But the tasted are many. Isn't it? So, the sense organ which serves as an illuminator, one is one, remains one and the same, but the objects perceived are many, very different, and they undergo change. Is it clear now? Similarly, we say, these sense organs, then we got the next verse, verse number 3, we saw there last class, this verse number 3 explains the next quarter of the first verse. What is the next quarter of the first verse? The seer number 2 or illuminator number 2, Deva Devaha, is explained in the mind, the illuminator 2. Deva Devaha is explained in where? Verse number 3. How it is explained? Mind is the seer, and that mind is the illuminator, and mind sees, mind illumines what? Mind illumines all the sense organs. How does the mind see the sense organs? How it seem in what now? What is illumined by the mind? What is seen by the mind? What is known by the mind? Here we say, because sense organ, every sense power, you know, power varies. The power, the different powers are there. The perceptual powers are different. They don't remain the same. Perceptual powers which are perceived, seen are different. There is a sharp, total perception, perceptual power. There is partial perceptual power. There is total lack of power or totally imperfect perceptual power. Perfect, partially perfect, totally imperfect or lack of power. This is how the perceptual powers also vary, not differ from person to person, from age to age, no, from time to time. And these are all known, seen, perceived, illumined by the mind. And there the author very beautifully presented Andhyam, Mandhyam, Patutvam. Patutva means what? Sharpness. I told you. You know, the perfect perceptual power, sharpest power, how do you say? Patutvam of the sense organ. Patutvam of the sense organ means what? Perfect perceptual power of the sense organ is said to be what? Patutvam. Then, vague perceptual power, partial perceptual power of the sense organ is said to be mandyam, mandatvam. And then total blindness is said to be what? Andhyam. Similarly, you have to extend these three levels of perceptual powers to all the sense organs. Like badhiryam, if you say deafness, total deafness, then partial perceptual power, then total perceptual power. Similarly, you can extend this to all the senses. All the senses, as we age, the perceptual powers of senses become different and it varies. So, this is perceived by who? Known by whom? Mind. So, mind is the knower, the illuminator, the perceiver, seer of these the difference in perceptual powers, different perceptual powers are perceived by the mind, the seer number two, or illuminator number two. Is it clear now? Therefore, that is explained in the third verse. Then the fourth verse we have to do today. Remember, this is what we have seen earlier. So the Sakshi, the absolute illuminator, who is never illumined by anything, who ever remains the illuminator but never is illumined, that never illumined Sakshi, the witness, the illuminator three, the absolute illuminator, who is that? Mahadevaha is explained in the verse number 4. Is it clear now? The next verse. So we'll see that. I think I stopped here last week. Rupam drishyam lochanam drik. Rupam drishyam lochanam drik. Tadrishyam driktu manasam. Tadrishyam driktu manasam. Drishya, drishya, dhivrataya, dhivrataya, sakshi, sakshi, drigeva, drigeva, natu drishyate, natu drishyate. Neelapita, neelapita, sthula sukshma, hraswa dirghadi bhedataha, dirghadi bhedataha, nana vidhani rupani, nana vidhani rupani, Pashye lochaname kadha,
Pashye
lochaname kadha. Here the lochanam ekadha pashyet, that is important. Lochanam ekadha pashyet means I remains one and the same without undergoing any change, as a perceiver of the seen, perceived object, as a seer of the object. Isn't it? Similarly, it doesn't become big to see the big object, doesn't become small to see the small object. Remaining one and the same, it sees different many objects. Similarly, you have to apply this to all other sense organs. Why I am emphasizing this? Ekadha pashyet. That is very important. So, whenever the seer is one and the same, when you say, we have to understand the absolute seer who never is illumined, is always, what now, doesn't undergo any change and remains one and the same, but still illumines everything, isn't it? Illumines variety and plurality, multiplicity, but it remains what? Without undergoing change, it remains one and the same, is the actual teaching for which he is really slowly putting foundation for the understanding. Then, the next verse, wherein the mind deva devaha, illuminator to, isn't it? Explained here. Andhyamandhyapatutveshu, Andhyamandhyapatutveshu, Netradharmeshu chaikadha, Netradharmeshu chaikadha, Sankalpayen,
Sankalpayen
manaha, Sankalpayen manaha, Shrotratvagadau, Shrotratvagadau, Yojyatamidam, Yojyatamidam, I know I can hear well, I know I can see well, I know I can't see well, I know I can't hear well, I know this smell, I don't know any smell, I don't smell anything, I smell anything. Whenever we say, okay, what does it mean? Mind is referred to as I. And who is the seer there? Mind is the seer. Understand? And this mind, isn't it? Mind is seen again. Mind is the seen and Sakshi, the witness. No, Sakshi, the witness, is the seer illuminator. So what are all seen by the Sakshi? What are all illumined by the Sakshi? Now, what is it which is the, in the form of mind, that is said in the fourth verse? Kama sankalpa sandeho.
Kama
sankalpa sandeho. Shraddha shraddhe. Shraddha shraddhe. Dhruti tare. Dhruti tare. Hrir dhir. Hrir dhir. Bhiritya madin. Bhiritya madin. Bhasayatye kadha chitihi. Bhasayatye kadha chitihi. I had to remind you of Sanskritam here. Gacchati, pathati, likhati, pashyati. You read Sanskrit words, remember? At least remember that much. Sanskrit, you can't say no. For 3-4 months, you have learned some verbs, present tense verbs ending in ti. Gacchati, pathati, likhati. Like that, today you are learning one more new verb, bhasayati. Say that now.
Bhasayati.
Bhasayati.
Bhasayati
means what? Illumines. Brings to light. Ulirat chehirade. Ulirvikindrade. Vilangat chehirade. Vilakkhirade. What to say now? Bhasayati. Understand now? Bhasayati. So, chitihi. Bhasayati. Ekadha chitihi bhasayati. Chitihi is a beautiful feminine gender word, which means what? Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam is consciousness, neutral gender word. Chit also means consciousness, and chitihi also means consciousness. It is not Tamil chitti. Okay, in Tamil language, chitti means auntie. Okay, mother's sister is, younger sister is called Chitti. So, not Chitti here, Chitihi. But now, Chitihi. Chitihi is what? Pure consciousness. Chaitanyam. Chitihi is a feminine gender word. Chaitanyam is a neuter gender word. And so, that is the difference. Chit, Chitihi, Chaitanyam. All the three words mean the pure consciousness. And not only these three words, we will learn some more words, understand now, in different contexts, which mean consciousness. So, chitihi bhasayati. Chitihi bhasayati. Okay, parambulur anittayum vilangat chehirade, ulirat chehirade. Understand now, the consciousness illumines. As what? How does it illumine? Does it undergo change to illumine? No. Without undergoing any change, remaining as one, consciousness illumines. Ekadha. So, chitihi ekadha bhasayati. Chitihi ekadha bhasayati. So, consciousness, this chitihi illumines everything. Remaining one and the same, without undergoing any change, it illumines everything. Means what? It illumines the mind. Here we are not talking about consciousness illumining everything. Consciousness directly illumines what? The mind. So, what is mind here? Varieties of thought modifications which constitute the mind. In this book, actually, you are going to understand mind properly. So kamaha, desire, sankalpaha, you've already learned it. Now sankalpaha, decision, sandeha, doubt, shraddha, faith, ashraddha, even lack of faith, dhritihi, fortitude, urdi, itara, adhritihi, no, lack of fortitude, and hrihi, dhihrihi, no, the modesty, politeness, no, and then dhihi, shyness also is hrihi actually, feeling shy, the feeling of shyness is what? Hrihi, then dhihi, no, knowledge, understanding, cognition, it's also dhihi, bhihi, fear, iti, evam, adin, ivvidamana vehalai. No, all these things, all these different thought modifications are known, illumined. Whenever you say, I'm frightened, I'm scared, I'm frightened, you know, I really want it, I don't know, I really believe it, I don't believe it. You know, whenever we say all these things, I believe it, no, that, no, I'm going to get it. Now, this is what I decided to do. Whenever you say, I did this, etc., then I refers to whom? Sakshi. Understand now? I refers to Sakshi. I know this. Okay? I know I slept well. I know I slept well. I know I didn't sleep well. Isn't it? When you say, then... who's the one who illumines the mind? That is known. All these different thoughts are known. Who is the illuminator? What are all the illumined mind? The different thought modifications which constitute the mind is illumined, known, seen, and illuminator is who? Sakshi, witness, consciousness. And consciousness, these states change, states of mind change, but consciousness does not undergo any change. See, only it's a general presentation. The same author is going to again explain this later on. They become much clearer. That's why I'm not going into the details. So, ekadha bhasayati. So, always you have to notice one thing. From the standpoint of the illumined, illuminator is always one and the same without undergoing any change. Similarly, here the illuminator 1, illuminator 2, and this illuminator 3, actually Sakshi, the absolute illuminator, Sakshi. Sakshi. No, drig eva natu drishyate, we saw in the first verse. Remember, that sakshi illumines, is what now? Chitihi ekadha bhasayati. These are all previous class lessons. Okay, we'll come to the new lesson. So, what you have to understand, so whenever, now these three seers are there, what we do, whenever we say, I see light, look at this. See these expressions. I see there is light. I see today it is dull. It is not very bright day. It is not a sunny day. It is a dull, cloudy day. When I say, I hear that. I see this. I smell something in the kitchen. I smell something here. Whenever we refer to, whenever we say these expressions, I smell this, I hear this, I see this, I taste this, I like the taste. I feel too warm, I feel too cold. Whenever we say in these expressions, I is connected to, associated with, identified with sense organs. I is identified with seer number 1. Is it clear now? When do we identify? Whenever we say these expressions. I see well. I don't see well. Okay? That is a different thing. But I see light. I hear this noise. I smell this. Do you smell this? I smell this. I taste this. I like this taste. In these expressions, I'm repeating this, please listen to me carefully. In these expressions, when we make such expressions, then I is identified with, associated with, connected to sense organs. Same, sometimes what we say, I really can't hear well. Look at this. I hear this when you say, I is associated with sense organ, seer number one. But when I say, I can't hear well, look at this. I can't hear well, I can't see properly. And I say, now when you say, I is associated with the seer number two, the mind. Purida, you have to see when I is identified with what? Whenever we refer to the sense organs, isn't it? When you refer to sense objects, and I is identified with the sense organs, when you refer to the sense powers, now, then I is identified with the mind. I can see well, very well. Especially when the doctor changes, when you go for power checkup, when he changes, no, I can't see well. No. Okay. Yeah, this is better. When they change the power, check the power, I can see well. Then I is identified with what? Mind. Seer number two, illuminator number two. Then you say, I'm tired. I'm not feeling well. Well, not physically, okay, I'm saying mentally. Then you say, I'm sad, I'm upset, or I'm very happy, I'm pleased, I'm like that. When you say, I'm really enthusiastic to do this, I've decided to go, I have decided to go. When you say, then I is identified with what? With what? I know I slept well. I know I did not sleep well. Isn't it? When I identified with what? Sakshi. But you do not know what you are identifying with. That is the problem. You identified, see, in different contexts, the I is refer, no, I refers to, I is identified with any one of these three seers. Understand now? But you do not know when you identify with what. Without knowing what the I is identified with, you identify with, understand now, identify the I with everything, all the three seers. Is it clear now? I is identified with each and every, all the three seers. Sometimes I is identified with Mahadevaha. Sometimes I is identified with Devadevaha, the mind. Sometimes I is identified with sense organs. Understand? And these three absolute illuminator and the relative illuminators, relative seers, are what now? Are inseparably together. You can't separate them. Okay, the seer number one, seer number two, and seer number three. Or you can say illuminator number one, two, three. Two relative seer illuminators and one absolute illuminator, they are mixed, they are connected, associated, how? Inseparably they are together. You can't separate them. Inseparably together. And what we do? We do not know what the absolute seer is. Understand now? And we do not know what are the relative seers. But we really, and then we have I is identified with all the three seers. Isn't it? And here, one question comes, how come What about these sense organs? When you say sense organ, the sense powers, five subtle sense powers, are what now? What are they made of? The sattvic aspect of respective element has become what? Isn't it? Sense power. Each sense power, you have to remember tattvabodha here. Each sense power is made of the sattvic aspect of respective element. Remember, so all this, what are the elements? The sattvic aspect, rajasic aspect, tamasic aspect, all the aspects of the entire matter. All the three aspects are material, therefore all the matter is by itself is inert. Inert means what? It does not know its own existence. It doesn't have the capacity to reveal its power. It is of the nature of inertness. That's what is we call inert. Therefore, matter is inert in nature by itself. And so material product is what? Even though it is a subtle power, the sattvic aspect of element alone has become the sense power. But still the subtle, but still material in nature, the material products. And what about the mind? Mind also is what? Mind also is made of the sattvic aspect of five elements. Your mind also is material. Sense powers are also material in nature. Therefore, they are all what? The seer one and the seer two, both are basically what? We say, material in nature, they're inert. Therefore, they cannot be conscious, first of all. Then they cannot function on their own as the illuminators. Is it clear now? And these senses, for the senses to be, and the golakam, whatever the golakam, the whole physical body is a golakam. Sense, the golakam means what? Where the sense power resides. Isn't it? Sense power is there. The skin is there all over. The sense of touch is there all over the body. But the entire body can take it as what? Golakam. We have these golakam plus the whole body is golakam, actually speaking, where the sense powers are there. So, we say the sense powers, for them to be able to function, they must become conscious. For the sense organs to be the seers, to be the illuminators, they must become conscious, thereby they are sentient, thereby they should be able to function as sense organs or seers. So, how do they become conscious? Because they are lent consciousness. They are lent sentiency. That means, who is lending consciousness? Isn't it? So, you say mind alone lends consciousness. Please understand, sense organs and the body. Understand now? Sense organs means it includes body also. So, sense organs, in fact, they have their consciousness lent by the mind. They do not have their own consciousness. They do not have their own sentiency. They are inert in nature. Inert senses, they have their sentiency borrowed, have their consciousness borrowed. They become conscious and sentient. Thereby, they are able to be the seers and illuminators. They borrow. Suppose how can the mind by itself is what? We know mind is made of sattvic aspect of five elements. I'm repeating it. Don't feel bored. It is a must. It's necessary for me to repeat. Made of five sattvic aspect of five elements. It is inert. How can it be conscious and sentient? So mind also, what now? Is lent. Isn't it? Lent consciousness, given consciousness, made sentient. Isn't it? That means who is the one who makes a mind doesn't have consciousness of its own. Mind doesn't have sentiency of its own. but still it becomes sentient and conscious. Thereby it has the capacity to illumine the sense organs. That means mind also is given. So Atma Chaitanyam, the Chitihi, the Sakshi alone, we can say, lends consciousness to the mind. Okay, mind borrows consciousness, receives consciousness from the Atma, the Chitihi. Again, lending is not an action, it is Swarupam. It is not like I just walk to Jainathanji and give the book, lending. Not like that. It is not an action. It's like what? Just as sun lends light to opaque objects and make them illumine. Is it clear now? Make them illumined. Bring them to light. Similarly here, this Chitihi also does not do any action. We are going to see. The Chitihi does not have a desire to illumine. Look at this. Consciousness does not will to illumine. Consciousness does not plan to illumine. Does not scheme to illumine. Understand now? Does not desire, does not will, does not scheme or plan to illumine consciousness by its, just by being, it illumines the mind. Thereby, it lends consciousness to the mind. And mind alone has what now? Mind is, has this uniqueness. Mind is specially made, uniquely made hardware that it can what? It has the direct access to consciousness. That means what? Consciousness is manifest there. Is it clear now? Consciousness is manifest there. Therefore what now? We say that is because mind is subtlest to the manifestations and it has the capacity to what? Receive. Okay. Also have the manifestation of consciousness. Therefore what now? The mind becomes conscious and sentient, being illumined by consciousness directly. Is it clear now? Therefore, consciousness does not borrow consciousness from anything. Consciousness by itself is consciousness, pure consciousness, original consciousness, pure consciousness. It is what is Swarupam is knowing and illumining is not an action, it is Swarupam. Thereby consciousness lends, answer now. Lending is not an action, Swarupam. But its mere presence, it illumines the mind. Thereby, mind becomes what? Conscious and sentient. It has the capacity to be this knower, illuminator of the senses. And thereby, senses become what now? Borrowed is given. Look at this. It doesn't have its own. Mind doesn't have its own, but still it becomes a lender also. Give, take here, give. Like some, you know, bank agents. Bank takes money from the public. People deposit and it gives money to, again, loans to other people. Understand now? Like that, here this mind also has consciousness from the Atma, Chitihi, then it gives consciousness to the sense organs. Here, is it clear now? So, absolute illuminator does not borrow because consciousness is its Swarupam, whereas mind and senses do not have consciousness of their own. They borrow consciousness, thereby they become conscious, sentient, and they have the capacity to illumine. Is it clear now? So, that is how they become. And whenever we refer to, we always refer to certain things, I is identified with any of these three illuminators. I am sad when you say I is identified with what? Which seer?
Mind.
I identified with this mind is okay, but which seer? I know I am sad when you say Sakshi. I know I can see well. Which sphere is identified with? Mind. I see the light, sense organ. Let's know very well. Okay. This is the, so evam adin ekada chitihi bhasayati. So consciousness does not become sad to eliminate the sadness of the mind. Consciousness does not become happy to eliminate the pleasure state of mind. So consciousness is just consciousness. Ekada chitihi bhasayati. It's okay? Now we'll go to the next verse. Okay. Now what is that consciousness? What is that chitihi? Is said in the next verse. So now, having briefly presented the three illuminators which constitute the individual in the first verse, the author in the second, third and fourth three verses, he explained the three illuminators in three different verses. Then in the fifth verse, he is talking separately about the Sakshi. Okay, what is this Sakshi, the witness, the absolute illuminator, Drik Yeva Natu Drishyate, which is not illumined by anything? Who is that Sakshi? He is saying here. So, explanation of the Sakshi is explained here, it is given here in this fifth verse. No Deti Nastameti.
No deti nastameti
yesha
na
vriddhim yati
na kshayam.
No deti nastameti yesha na vriddhim yati na kshayam. Eshana vriddhim yati nakshayam swayam vibhati.
Swayam vibhati.
Actually, for Sanskrit people, atha, and we had to strike one na there. Athanyani.
Athanyani.
Swayam vibhatyathanyani.
Swayam
vibhatyathanyani. I can tell you slowly, you can write it down if you want. No deti,
no deti,
nastameti,
nastameti.
See, this verse describes the swarupam of consciousness, the chitihi. No deti,
no deti,
nastameti,
nastameti.
Yesha,
yesha,
na vriddhim yati,
na vriddhim yati,
na kshayam,
na kshayam,
na kshayam,
na kshayam.
Next line, swayam vibhati,
swayam vibhati,
swayam vibhati,
swayam vibhati,
athanyani,
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 bhasayet, bhasayet, sadhanam vina, sadhanam vina, bhasayet sadhanam vina, bhasayet sadhanam vina. So, na udeti, gacchati, pathati, likhati, bhasayati. What's the new verb you are learning today, Sanskritam? Udeti. Say now, udeti. Udeti means udayati, rises, isn't it? Na udeti, does not rise. Consciousness does not rise. Understand now, consciousness does not rise when you say it does not begin. So it is not created, isn't it? It has no beginning. Beginninglessness of consciousness is said by the verb na udeti, udippadu illai. Anything which begins has what? Anything which has begins rises, isn't it? The beginningless one cannot come into being newly. So here, na udeti. And here, not only does not begin, doesn't have beginning, na astam yeti. Astam adaivadillai. Na astam yeti. It does not set, means it does not come to an end, it does not disappear. Na astam eti. See, eti like gachati, another verb here. Is it clear now? Udeti astam eti. Does not set means it does not come to an end. So it has no end. So beginninglessness and then endlessness. When you say beginningless and endless, definitely it is eternal. That which has no beginning, that which has no end, when you say it is beginningless, the endless, eternal. Eternal, when you say, it means what? Timelessness. So when you had say beginninglessness, endlessness, and eternal, eternity, when you talk about, it means timelessness of consciousness. Kala varayarai attradu paramborul. When you say, how do you say? Timeless. Isn't it? So therefore, not only this beginningless, endless, also what? Changeless. You have to remember here, when we talk about beginninglessness, endlessness, you have to remember the changelessness also. Changelessness. So therefore, it is what now? Eternal. Eternity is the nature of consciousness. Eternity, when you say, this timelessness. It's of the nature of timelessness. So na astam, na udeti, na astam yeti. Why do we say time itself is what? Relative. Why time is relative? It is not absolute. Why it is not absolute? Time has beginning. Time kalaha udeti, kalaha astam yeti. Look at this. Time, everything else begins in time. Isn't it? Jagat, isn't it? Everything begins in time, ends in time. Time itself begins and ends, whereas consciousness does not begin and end, and time is an object of knowledge. Time is illumined. Where is time? Isn't it? Time is in the form of knowledge, isn't it? So where is, who knows time? The knower of time, illuminator of time is who? Consciousness. Therefore, every object of knowledge, look at this, every object of knowledge, every illumined object, every scene, any object seen by the known, seen by the sense organ, illumined by the seer number one, has udeti, beginning, has an end. And in between beginning and end, subject to change, time bound. Similarly, the sense powers also what now? Sense powers also, in fact, sense organs also what now? They have beginning and end, they undergo changes. That is why you sleep, you wake up and do all these things. Changes, isn't it? And we say all the objects of perception, illumined objects are all the illumined, when you say the world illumined by the senses, senses illumined by the mind, mind illumined by absolute sakshi. All the illumined, when you say the illumined world, illumined senses, illumined mind, all the illumined, ariyappaduvai ellame, what now? Udeti, astameti, understand now? Now vyeti, undergoes a change, declines, and says, now, you're going to see that. Therefore, what now? They're all time bound. They come into existence in time, exist in time, they disappear in, disappear means what? They, set. They come to an end in time. And what about the time factor? Not object within the, which exists in the realm of time is different. Time factor itself. Time kalaha udeti. Kalaha astam gachati. Kas astameti. time begins and time ends, but consciousness, Sakshi, the illuminator of the all the illumined, isn't it what now? Which illumines the existence and the absence of time is what? Kala Rahitaha, Kala Atitaha, Kala Kalaha. I want to remember all these words. Kala Kalaha, Kala Atitaha, Kala Rahitaha. And so now Amrita Ghateshwaraha. Why? Because what do you say here? Because Kalanakam Kalan Antakantakaha. Antakantakaha. Remember the word. Antakantakaha. Kala Kalaha. Kala Rahitaha. Why? Because na udeti, na astameti. Understand now? Not only na udeti, na astameti. This consciousness is of the nature of timelessness. He says, doesn't undergo any change. So how should you say? Na vriddhim yati. Vriddhim yati means what? Vriddhi adehirathu. Na vriddhim yati means what? It does not grow big in size. Does not, the changelessness is implied by other two words. Na vriddhim yati, na kshayam yati. When you say na kshayam yati, na vriddhim yati, those two words stand for changelessness of consciousness. They reveal the changelessness of consciousness, and the first two words imply the timelessness of consciousness. Whenever you talk about the timelessness, you have to immediately talk about what? Understand the changelessness also. Therefore, the author very carefully presents na vriddhim yati. Doesn't undergo, doesn't grow big, it doesn't expand, isn't grow big in size, become, isn't it? It's always the same, it cannot become bigger than what it is. Therefore, what? It doesn't grow in size, big in size. Na vriddhim yati, doesn't increase in size, doesn't expand. Then, kshayam nayati, it does not decline, does not contract, doesn't become small, isn't it? So, surungvado, odungvado, kurevado, teivado, illai. How will you say? Doesn't contract, doesn't become small in size, that doesn't increase, decrease in its thing, size. Therefore, it says, na kshayam yati. So, na vriddhim yati, na kshayam yati means, it does not undergo any change. Because change implies movement, motion, some commotion should take place on the part of consciousness for change to take place. No slightest motion also is not possible on the part of consciousness. Why? Because it can't move or change. Therefore, vriddhi is not possible. Kshayaha is not possible. Why? Movement is not possible. Why movement is not possible? Because it is all pervasive. It is fixed. Understand now? It is all pervasive. There must some space must be there for one to move around. Now this chair I can't move. I used to move in the chair. This chair I can't move much. Even a little move I can move. Now because it needs more space. Isn't it? Therefore, all pervasiveness also slight implied. Look at this. You had to, one thing is said. It doesn't undergo any change means it doesn't become big or small when you say it doesn't undergo any change. Why change is not possible? Because it can't move. Change is not possible without any small motion is there. Isn't it? And motion is not possible, actionlessness, because it is all pervasive. All pervasiveness is implied. Motionlessness is implied. Isn't it? And then, thereby changelessness is implied, but that timelessness also is said. Is it clear now? We have to remember, understand these things. Na vriddhim yati, na kshayam yati. Then he says, swayam vibhati. Such consciousness, swayam vibhati. The swayam vibhati implies the reality being what? pure consciousness, knowing, seeing is not an action, it is Swarupam. That means what? Swayam Vibhati means it shines by itself. Vibhati, like Gacchati, Patati, Likati, you have to know new verb, Vibhati. Vibhati means it shines by itself. You say it shines by itself means what? Tanahave Velangukirathu. Swayam Vibhati. It does not shine after some other light. It shines by itself. Swayam Vibhati. That means what? Swayam Vibhati, it reveals its existence by itself. It does, isn't it? Existence of consciousness is not established by anything else. I told in Upanishad class, no, something is existent means it has to be known. A known object, illumined object alone is what? Known object. Known object alone is existent object, isn't it? So anything illumined is known, known is existent. Unillumined, is it? Is unknown is as good as non-existent. Whereas here consciousness is not illumined by anything. Therefore, can we say it is not there at all? No, because it is self-revealing, self-luminous, self-revealing, self-effulgent. Because effulgence is what? As we saw, illumination is the Swarupam. Illumination is not an action, it is Swarupam. Therefore, what? Effulgence, it is Swarupam. Consciousness is self-effulgent, Tanaha Vilanguvadu. Is it clear now? That which shines by itself. That means it doesn't, it's not dependent on anything else to come to light, to be known. It's not dependent on any other illuminators. Consciousness, the absolute illuminator, is not dependent on the seer two or seer one. Why? Because those two illuminators, all these devas and all the deva devaha, all of them look up to Mahadeva. Now for them to be the illuminators, they cannot illumine, they themselves are illumined by Mahadeva. So they cannot illumine the Mahadeva. Mahadevaha Swayam Vibhati. Okay? Devaha Anubhanti. Remember now. All these devas Anubhanti, shine after. Deva Devaha shines after. Anubhati, but Mahadevaha Swayam Vibhati. Understand now? Swayam Vibhati. In fact, one of the Swamis used to give beautiful example of always, he says, no, sun, no, the earth is illumined by the moonlight on full moon day. Okay, on full moon day, who is the illuminator of the earth in the evening, night time? Moon is the illuminator, but even though moon looks very original, as if it has its own intrinsic light, we say, who is the illuminator of the earth on full moon day? Moon is the illuminator. But does the moon illumine the earth by itself? Does the moon have light of its own? No. It's what? No. It has illuminator from the standpoint of the earth, but the same moon is illumined by whom? It borrows its light from sun. Therefore, sun is the actual absolute illuminator of the earth, even on full moon day in the night. But relative illuminator is who? Moon. Similarly here, consciousness, Swayam Vibhati. Swayam Vibhati. It shines by itself because Swarupam. That is the Swarupam. When it says self-revealing, it shines by itself means what? Self-revealing, self-effulgent. When self-revealing means what? Self-existent. Self-revealing is self-existent also. Swayam Vibhati. Then he says, Atha not only shines by itself, Anyani Bhasayet. Bhasayet, you should take it as Bhasayeti. Bhasayeti. It anyani bhasayati. Anyani bhasi. Anyani means what? Others. It illumines others. It shines by itself. It illumines everything else, others. All the illumined It illumines the mind, thereby, by illuminating the mind, illumining the mind, it illumines the senses. Not directly, okay? By illumining the senses, it illumines the jagat. Is it clear now? Consciousness, anyani basayati. It illumines the whole jagat. How? Not directly. Look at this. Consciousness pervades everything, but illumining is through what? Through the mind and senses. Purida? Consciousness shines by itself, lends consciousness to the mind, thereby illumines the mind. By illumining the mind, through the mind, it illumines the senses, it makes the senses conscious, thereby through the senses, it illumines the jagat. In Dakshinamurti Stotram, any Swami will quote this verse when you have to talk about it. Where is, no? Nana chidra ghato darasthita mahadeepa prabhabhaswaram. Nana chitra ghata udarasthita mahadeepaha. There's a big light lamp with a big flame of light put inside what? The ghata, the pot with many holes. Many holed pot is there, and inside you keep the light, and the beams of light, okay, go through all the holes. Understand now? And what do? They illumine the objects nearby. Is it clear now? So, this light of consciousness alone, the consciousness beams, just as sun doesn't come here. Understand now? Sunlight, the kiranam, surya kiranaha, the rays of sun come and illumine things. The light of the consciousness alone, what now? They illumine the mind, through the mind, they illumine the senses, and thereby they illumine the world of objects. Okay, so illumine, what sadhanam does it want? What sadhanam, what instrument does the consciousness need? What instrument does the consciousness need? Nothing. No, consciousness does not need any sadhanam, any instrument to illumine. Like the sun does not need any instrument to illumine the moon or to illumine the earth. Sadhanam vina, isn't it? Without any sadhanam. So without any effort, without any will, without any desire, without any plan or scheming, consciousness illumines the mind and senses and the objects. First it makes the through two seers, two illuminators, thereby it illumines the world, all other objects. So here we say, sadhanam vina anyani bhasayati. Swayam vibhati anyani bhasayati. Is it clear now? This is consciousness. But in this thing, so what does the science say about consciousness? You know, if you think of this Big Bang theory, according to them, what now? Consciousness begins. For them, matter exists, for a long time, matter has been existing, and suddenly what? Consciousness really manifests, life manifests, life comes into being. Life comes into being means what? Consciousness comes into being, isn't it? And that, then they say how everything forms a certain conducive atmosphere when matter comes together, and then a lot of things happen, then how the unicellular organism comes into being. So they talk about, for them, pure consciousness does not begin, doesn't originate, isn't it? What comes into being is manifestation of consciousness, not the consciousness. No, we have to understand the Big Bang when it talks about the consciousness, life coming into being. We have to remember very clearly, it does not talk about the manifestation of, origination of pure consciousness, but the origination of manifest consciousness. Okay, that we will see later on, don't worry about it. I'll teach you what do we mean by manifest consciousness. It's a big thing. Okay, so this is the consciousness. It talks about the consciousness. So it makes it very clear why the chitihi, the sakshi is the chitihi, and this chitihi, yesha, because I told you, it's a feminine gender word, the word yesha is used in this word, in this verse. Yesha na vriddhim yati na shayam yati na udeti na na astameti swayam vibhati anyani bhasayati. Without an instrument, without any instrument. A instrument, you have to understand effort and will also. You know, suppose when we do action, we will, we desire, we plan. So will involved actions, you know. So what it wants is sadhanam vinas implies there is no action on the part of consciousness. So illumining, knowing is what? Swarupam. See, illumining should be understood what? Knowing. So jnana swarupam. Chitihi jnanameva swarupam. He develops it so beautifully, this author. Now, very systematically he takes you to step by step. He is going to talk about it later on also, because 46 verses are there. By the time he finishes the 46 verses, he will see that you understand correctly things. He knows. That's why don't be in a hurry. Come on, be with me. You had to come systematically. You will understand things. He only talks about chitihi. Why it is absolute illuminator? That is why he reasons. He gives. Why it is, first he explains, say, what did he say? No, sakshi, drig eva natu drishyate. Sakshi is ever the illuminator, never is the illumined. That's an absolute illuminator. Then how, why? Because he says, a relative illuminator means what? Now it is udeti, all the problems are there. Here he has to talk about swayam vibhati, anyani vibhasayati, sadhanam vina, without any effort, without any instrument. So vibhanam is what? Vibhanam, illumination, is not an action, it is swarupam. Knowing is swarupam. Is it clear now? That is said here in this verse. So, when you say pure consciousness is of the nature of timelessness, pure consciousness is of the nature of, you know, the eternity, pure consciousness is of the nature of changelessness, pure consciousness is of the nature of self-effulgence, and therefore what? It is... No, it is also what? Illumining is its swarupam. This is what is said here. And that pure consciousness, it is also what other things are implied. What are they? All pervasiveness. Isn't all pervasiveness? So in Bhagavad Gita, we heard the same thing as what? We heard Nitya Sarvagata Sthanuhu. Second chapter. I want to remind you here. Nitya sarvagata sthanuhu achaloyam sanatanaha. Sanatanaha, eternal, always there. So what? Nityaha. Sarvagataha. Therefore what? Sthanuhu, unmoving. No, achalaha, immovable. Sarvagataha. Nityaha, sarvagataha, sthanuhu, achalaha, ayam, sanatanaha. Same, we have to connect this now. Why sthanuhu? Why unmoving? Because all pervasive, sarvagataha. Why is, sarvagataha, how? So he says nityaha, eternal. How? Sanatanaha. Sanatana means what now? No, it has no beginning, it has no end. You have to remember, connect here, hereafter you have to connect the verses. So you remember what is said in Gita and what is said here and what is said in Upanishad. That is all have to make it thorough. Okay, now he finished with these five mantras, five verses. The author finished presenting the individual. The Jivaha has been, who is the Jivaha? Constituent of three illuminators. No? It's the Jivaha. He finished explaining in this fifth verse, with the fifth verse. The sixth onwards is going to talk about how these three illuminators are formed and their functions. Functions of three illuminators and the formation of three illuminators are discussed from verse number 6th to 12th. Is it clear now? 6th to 12th. We can't finish all the verses, but still we'll see how much we can see. That means what? Formation means what? We should not take seriously as a forming of something. How these three illuminators come into existence. I mean, how they are formed. How they function. That is explained here. Chichaya veshato buddhau. Chichaya veshato buddhau. Bhanam dhistu. Bhanam dhistu. Dvidhasthita. Dvidhasthita. Chichaya veshato buddhau. Chichaya veshato buddhau. Bhanam dhistu.
Bhanam dhistu.
Dvidhasthita. Dvidhasthita. Yekaham kritiranyasyat.
Yekaham kritiranyasyat.
Antah karana rupini.
Antah karana rupini.
Chichaya veshato buddhau.
Chichaya veshato buddhau.
Bhanam dhistu.
Bhanam dhistu.
Dvidhasthita. Dvidhasthita. Yekaham kritiranyasyat.
Yekaham
kritiranyasyat. Antahkarana rupini.
Antahkarana rupini.
See, buddhau bhanam. Now, buddhau bhanam. Buddhihi means what? You can say intellect or you can say mind itself. Bhanam means what? Illumination. Buddhau bhanam. There is illumination on the part of the mind. Buddhau bhanam. Buddhil oli. Means what now? The illumination on the part of the mind. I mean, mind is, there's illumination of on the mind. Means what? How does the mind become illumined? He says, aveshataha. Say now, aveshataha. In Tamil, avesham means kopam also, not the tapesha. Aveshaha means praveshaha. Praveshaha means what? Entry. And now, no, entry. There's no real entry like entry. There's no real entry. Now I say, see now, Surya Prakashaha Avishati means what? Does sunlight enter walking into his house? No. Sunlight is, it enters. Is it an action? No. Entry of the sunlight is not an action. It's the nature, isn't it? Why? That is the nature of sunlight. It enters, isn't it? He says sunlight entered into the room, so I had to move. Really, it is a truth. Sun has entered. But it is an action? No. Understand? Somebody came and sat in my chair, so I had to move. That is entry. Isn't it? But here, sunlight has now entered means it's not an action, it is Swarupam. Is it clear now? So, Aveshaha means what? Praveshaha. Praveshaha means what? Entry. So what has entered? Aveshataha, due to the entry of. Aveshataha means what? Aveshat, praveshat, due to the entry, due to the coming, okay, of chichaya. Chichaya means what? Chit means consciousness. Chaya means shade or shadow. Shade is called chaya. Chichaya means what? Here you should not take a shade of consciousness. It's, people say reflection of consciousness or reflected consciousness. But I say manifest consciousness. Okay? So consciousness, we already know. What do we know about consciousness? Pure consciousness is the reality. Therefore, it what now? It pervades everything. Pervading everything again is not an action. It is swarupam. Like water pervades the entire ocean. When I say, what does it mean? Pervasiveness is the nature of H2O with reference to ocean. Isn't it? Similarly, consciousness is the reality, the pure consciousness as the reality is what now? Is the nature of the consciousness is pervasiveness. So everywhere it is, there is nothing which is not pervaded, permeated by consciousness. Consciousness is always there. We have already studied what? Pure consciousness, na adihi, na antaha, isn't it? Na udeti, na astameti, we know thoroughly. Na vridhyam yati, na kshayam yati, swayam vibhati, anyana vibhasayati. We know very well. That everywhere it is there, but what do we mean by coming, manifesting? Isn't it? It's called manifest consciousness. Due to the manifestation of consciousness, which is already there. So what you should do, what you should know, this is what they talk about in Big Bang. Big Bang, they talk about origination of life. They talk about what? Manifestation of consciousness as beginning and end. But consciousness does not have beginning and end. Is it clear now? Consciousness does not have beginning and end. But manifestation of consciousness is what now? Isn't it? Beginning and end. When it ends, what happens? It becomes end now. It becomes resolved. That's all. It is not death, there is no destruction. Unmanifest becomes manifest. Becomes again unmanifest. Does it destroy? No, it destroyed? No. So, chichaya means manifest consciousness. So, aveshataha mitcho, due to the manifestation of consciousness. Okay? Because of the entry of the manifest consciousness. Due to the entry of manifest consciousness. By the manifestation of consciousness. Now you can say very well, due to the manifestation of consciousness or reflection of consciousness. I prefer the word manifestation. But mostly people talk as reflection. You can nothing wrong. You can say reflection also, but manifestation is a better presentation. Swamiji taught this. He said, what is this reflection? No. Because reflection always gives some confusion for us.
It's passive, manifesting, active, actually.
Isn't it? So, we say, how is it matched? Chichaya veshataha. Due to the manifestation of consciousness, entry of manifestation of consciousness. You can say manifestation of consciousness. Chichaya veshataha. We say, where buddhau bhanam, there is illumination, the part of the mind. Buddhau bhanam means what? There is consciousness on the part of the mind. How? Because of the manifestation of consciousness. Now, example I give you. Understand? Chichaya veshataha buddhau bhanam. Isn't it? Now I can say, chichaya veshataha. Life in a plant. Understand now? What is a plant? A plant is nothing but elemental. Five elemental product that is. This physical body all is what now? Elemental product. isn't it? What is the difference between the dead body and what then the alive body? Isn't it? Look at this. There's a body, physical body, which is perfectly healthy body. Somebody who's very healthy also dies sometimes. Not sometimes, definitely everybody dies. So what is it? What is that because of which the conversion takes place? Alive body becomes a corpse. What is that which converts? Conversion, how does it take place? Know that. The mind leaves the physical body, then manifest consciousness also. Mind is the manifesting medium and cough. Understand now? When the manifest medium is there, consciousness is manifest. Consciousness is in a dead body, consciousness is. But what is not there? Manifest consciousness is not there. For the consciousness to become manifest, there must be what? Mind. Okay, the manifesting medium moves, manifest consciousness also moves. If you move the mirror, my reflection also will move. And so I don't move. Okay, I sit here, but there is a mirror kept in front of me, and my reflection falls. There's a manifestation. And this person, isn't it? And what happens? The mirror is taken away, reflection also goes away. Who moves here now? Who moves? Do I move? No. Reflection moves. Is it clear now? Similarly, the mind is the manifesting medium for the consciousness to manifest. Isn't it? So, but mind is a very special medium. Even though I'm sitting here, if the mirror is there, my reflection I can see, there is also the wall. It doesn't have the capacity to reflect. But the mind has the capacity to reflect. Is it clear now? The mirror has capacity to reflect. Similarly, the physical body does not have an access to consciousness to manifest. Consciousness is there, but it is not manifest. But the consciousness is there. In mind, consciousness is manifest. Is it clear now? Therefore, chichaya veshataha means what? Due to the manifestation of consciousness. Chichaya veshataha, buddhau bhanam. The inert mind becomes conscious. The mind, there's illumination on the part of the mind. The mind becomes, inert mind becomes conscious and sentient. Is it clear now? For example, there's a log, this is a wood, there's a live tree. What is the difference? The manifesting medium is still there. Understand now, you don't see the manifesting medium, but you can understand the consciousness being manifest. How? The life. The life in a tree, when you see, there is a upadhi, special upadhi the tree also has. And there's a subtle, where consciousness is manifest, isn't it? The same consciousness is manifest in any living, you can see in any living being. In a stone also consciousness is, the wood also consciousness is, in corpse also consciousness is, in alive body also consciousness is. It is nothing which is not where consciousness is not. Understand now. But what is not there? Manifestation of consciousness is not there. Is it clear now? Arivu irukku. அது உதிக்காத அறிவு, தோன்றாத அறிவு, வெளிப்படாத அறிவு. Manifestation of consciousness is not there. And when you see the living beings, amoeba onwards, paramecium onwards, virus onwards, every unicellular organism, go to any multicellular organisms, like human beings or animals or any big things, or the manifestation of consciousness, the levels are different. There, what is the knowledge? How much is the knowledge manifest? The knowledge required on the part of the tree to live its life. Who is giving that knowledge? Nobody is giving. Understand now. The tree doesn't come to us asking for the tutorship, asking for any any coaching classes, how to absorb water from the earth. That means what? There's knowledge. That knowledge you don't see through physical eyes. Please understand, we do not see the knowledge in the tree through physical eyes, but we understand knowledge being there. What we understand as knowledge being there is what? Manifest consciousness. Is it clear now? The same consciousness is there as the knowledge manifest. Knowledge is what? Manifestation. Manifest consciousness is knowledge. Pure knowledge is consciousness. Manifest knowledge is what now? Consciousness. Manifest consciousness. So you see, in any living being, every being, when I taught you Medha Suktam, refer Medha Suktam class, remember that. I told you every living being is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. That knowledge is what? Manifestation of consciousness. What about your own physical system? There is knowledge manifest on the part of the heart, lungs, kidneys, the whole body, every cell, for the cell to divide and to become many, there is knowledge. That is what? Manifestation of consciousness. Understand now? But you know, highest manifestation of knowledge, I am. What is that? I am is what? No? That is knowledge. That is why we say here, just I want to understand how now consciousness is manifest as knowledge. That manifest as knowledge is what? Manifest consciousness. Is it clear now? So here I want to understand, the mind by is inert matter, very well we know, but still becomes conscious. This illumination on the part of the mind, how aveshataha, due to the manifestation of consciousness. If the consciousness is manifest, mind becomes what? Conscious and live. And a dead. And the inert matter becomes live, conscious and sentient because of manifestation of consciousness. Avesha here is what? Manifesting is avesha. Being unmanifest is what? Understand? Anavesha. Non-entry. That's what you can't say, no? Non-entry. Chichaya veshataha means what? Due to the manifestation of consciousness, there is illumination, the part of the mind. Buddhau bhanam. How buddhau bhanam? Aveshataha. Kasya aveshataha? Whose entry? Chichaya aveshataha. What? Why not chichida avesha? Why did he say? Why chichaya aveshaha? Because manifestation was said differently, isn't it? So, due to the entry of, now I can say, manifest consciousness. Due to the manifestation, now entry is understood word, okay? Now, how do all these objects, shine when you say, due to the entry of reflected light? Look at this. Due to the entry of reflected lights, all the opaque objects become illumined. What does it mean? Light gets the name reflected light because of the reflecting medium, isn't it? Similarly here, when you say this, not due to the entry of manifest consciousness. Understand? And mind is a special, uniquely designed hardware. It has the capacity to, reflect. It can, the consciousness can manifest there. Therefore, chichaya veshataha buddhau bhanam. It becomes very, very clear. Only hereafter, actually, you are going to understand. And here, he says, deshtu dvidhasthita. 11 o'clock now. What, should I stop? 9:30 we started. Yeah, I'll finish here. Deshtu dvidhasthita. And here he's talking about the mind. So you have to understand, mind is divided into two aspects of the mind. you wouldn't have heard about before. First time you have to listen here. You heard about what? Buddhihi chitta mahankaraha. In tattva bodhaha, how did you understand mind? Aham buddhihi manaha buddhihi chittam ahankaraha. And here you should know, we heard about the vrittis, thoughts. No? And here we are going to understand both. Two aspects of the mind. Okay, what is it? What are they? He says, Eka ahankritihi. Say that now. Eka ahankritihi. Anyasyat, say.
Anyasyat.
Antahkarana rupini.
Antahkarana rupini.
Okay. Antahkarana rupini, one. Antahkaranam, he divides as two. Ahankaraha antahkaranam. Generally, antahkaranam is the name of the mind, isn't it? Mind is said to be antahkaranam together. The mind as a whole, all the thoughts put together is what? Antahkaranam. Isn't it? Manaha. But here we say, ahankritihi yeka anya antahkarana rupi antahkaranam. Anyate antahkaranam. One aspect of mind is ahankritihi. Another aspect of mind is antahkaranam. So in this word here, ahankritihi is a feminine gender word, isn't it? Which means mind, substance. Don't take it as ego, please. Ahankara here is what? Ahankritihi is what? The substance, mind substance. The mind, subtlest mind material is, subtlest mind substance or mind material is what? Known by the word ahankritihi. You have to be very careful in reading. That's why I don't recommend translations, okay? Sometimes, because they had to put the word egoity, something like that. But you should know what? Subtlest mind material is called ahankritihi. Ahankritihi. And what about antahkarana rupini, antahkaranam? Antahkaranam stands for the vritti. The two aspects, vritti aspect of the mind and mind substance. Okay, the material, subtlest material substance of the mind is said to be ahankritihi. And thought aspect of the mind is said to be antahkaranam. How are they? If you see, when you see the ocean, okay, there is something which a basis from where the thoughts arise. You know, the thought, the top part of the waves, you can take as what? Antahkaranam aspect. The thought is what? Top part is a wave part, isn't it? The top part of the portion of the ocean is what? Wave aspect. And there is a basic aspect of the ocean, isn't it? The foundation from where the thoughts arise. Two. You have wave aspect and you have also what now? Base aspect of the ocean. Similarly here also, thought aspect of the mind and subtle mind material. Is it clear now? So this is, we have two aspects of the mind. And here, the thought aspect of the mind alone, when the consciousness, this manifestation of consciousness is there, the both, understand now? The ahankritihi, the base mind material also becomes conscious, and the wave, the thought aspect of the mind also becomes conscious. Is it clear now? Both become conscious. And here, the ahankritihi, the basic mind material, remains inside the body, whereas the thought aspect goes out. Moves. Very, very subtle. Understand? thought aspect moves, this mind substance as mind subtle substance, mind substance, let's say mind substance, mind material, subtle mind material known by the word ahankriti in this context does not move, remains in the body, whereas thought aspect of the mind moves, goes out. Understand? This much will stop here. So I'll come back and teach you next class, because this is from where you have to have clarity. So next class I'll straight away go to this verse. I'll clear your doubts. Don't take too much. You remember only one thing. Remember the ocean, the base part of the ocean, the wave part of the ocean. Similarly, here also is a basic, subtle mind material, and there is a thought aspect of the mind. The basic mind material remains in the body, whereas subtle thought aspect moves. Okay, this much is enough. And how these both aspects of the mind become conscious? Because of the manifestation of consciousness. This much is enough now. We'll see. Next class, I'll come back and explain. It needs lots of explanation. Lots and lots of explanation. So we'll do next class. Take care of it. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So when you come next to the next class, just go through. It may look very simple. The first five verses, remember and come. See what is said there. So you will be with me. No? The first five verses tell you about the individual being the constituent of three illuminators. Then the sixth to 11th, the formation and functions of three illuminators are explained. Let's just start only one slide. I haven't completed, okay?